Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
Happy International Women's Day.
Yes, and to you.
Well, thank you.
And to all of our listeners.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm delighted every year mm-hmm. with the opportunity to work with and learn from amazing women in my life. And you are definitely in my top three.
Aw, ditto. Thank you. How nice.
Oh, yeah. It's totally a pleasure. And I just love learning. I love being challenged and poked and prodded. And you do that.
Yes, as been known to happen a time or two. But yeah, it's just a great, I always think of my mom and my grandma on International Women's Day. I wonder what my grandmother would make of all this.
Yeah, actually that's, I think about that too sometimes. My Nana was very progressive.
She'd probably see leggings and go, what on earth are those?
No kidding. But just also the, like, I mean, I remember that my Nana always would say, you know, I just want to know how it all turns out.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. That's and exactly so it. I kind of wish there was a messaging system that I could just say, oh, God, this year this happened. Ha ha.
Yeah.
But alas.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I know we have more than our moms did and our moms had more than their moms did. And
yeah. And man, in the last 20 years.
Like, yeah.
We've seen massive change.
Yes, yeah.
And having two daughters, I must say, I'm way more comfortable launching them into the world than I probably would have been even.
That's a great feeling.
Yeah. So I think that, yes, of course, there's always a long ways to go when we're talking about equality. There's still lots of issues out there that we have to deal with that are kind of ingrained in us.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll look back in 20 years and go, can you imagine that in 2018 they couldn't do that?
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
Yeah.
But this wasn't that long ago. Like when I started my working career at a bank, women were still required to wear skirts. Mm-hmm.
And so, pantyhose. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Pantyhose.
And I mean, that wasn't that long ago.
No.
I'm not.
No, it wasn't. No,
of course,
I had
I'm
jobs
only 25,
where
so, you
lipstick
know.
Was recommended but not required. And skirts were preferred to slacks.
Yes. Slacks. Slacks were for men.
I love that word, slacks.
We should bring
galoshes.
It back.
We should bring those words back.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and I just thought that's the way it was. No, okay, right?
Well, it's because that was society's norms. And I think we're seeing that, of course, with the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. We're seeing, well, it's just been that way for so long that we're having trouble recognizing that it's wrong and that it needs to be changed.
For sure. And you know, mighty the women who would have stood up against things that the rest of us are like, oh, well, I guess that's just how it is. You know, they had to have been mighty women.
Yeah. Like the vote. My gosh. Like women were ostracized, beaten, imprisoned.
Yes.
Like, oh my gosh, the fight they had to endure.
What did they say? Nice girls don't want the vote.
Yeah. So, and we enjoy that luxury and we often throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh my goodness. Yes, true.
Yeah.
And I mean, and we act as if it was 1917?
Yeah, I think suffrage. So, yeah.
Was it? But some women, black women, Aboriginal women of Asian descent, weren't actually allowed to vote till
like the 40s
and even as late as the 60s.
I'm pretty sure, for Aboriginal women, it was the 60s before they got the vote. I know.
Which just seems ridiculous, but...
I know.
Yeah.
It actually, a lot happened in the 1900s, that's for sure. And I mean, it's fascinating reading to go back and just see everything that happened in terms of women's rights and equality and things like that, that happened pretty much from 1911 on, because 1908, do you hear the beginning of all of this?
Yes, it was 1908.
Yeah, 1908 was the Russian, the women who... revolted against Tsar Nicholas. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. They started the revolution that tore his government down.
That's right. And now March 8th is a holiday in Russia.
Right.
Right.
And so that was the beginning of that date. And they had an event or that is recognized in Russia. I think it translates to Day of Feminism.
Right.
So really, they are the ones that started it all.
Feminism they're okay with. It's just everything else.
Yeah. But in 1911 Russia. Was when the first International Women's Day was celebrated.
Yeah. Yes.
But it... kind of after that, it was like, okay, other countries in the world started to go, wait a minute, you know, we actually do we place value in the role of women in society. And slowly, one by one, there's been recognition and movement towards equality. So,
yes.
You know, but actually it is. It's like, you know, you could download a 30-page document with just a timeline of these events, of how different countries have done different things with the vote and with equal pay. Did you know?
Yeah, equity, equality, diversity, inclusion.
Okay. This is
affirmative action. I know that for some people that's a dirty dirty word, but
yeah. Yeah. So just because in a couple of years, it'll be 100 years since this happened. Did you know that in 1920, the Treaty of Versailles stated that women must receive equal pay as their male counterparts? 1920.
Yeah. Look it up.
Yeah. Treaty of Versailles. Like, it's not like that became a document that got shelved.
Why wasn't that part dealt with?
Huh.
Oh, that's good info. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Things you learn on Voice of the Shoe Show.
Yeah. There I know, go. Right? Crazy.
Bet you there's no one else talking about Treaty of Versailles this morning.
Probably not. We're so trendy, though.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it'll become the topic. Right.
It's everywhere. Even like Lego has sets of mini figs, they're called, that celebrate famous women.
Really?
Famous astronauts. Yeah. There's one right here.
That's cool.
The women of NASA.
But so you can just buy a little face?
Yeah, it's a little, it's like it's a spaceship, but and all the women who either flew it or invented it or designed it or, you know.
Yeah.
It's a best-selling toy on Amazon. And Barbie is releasing a famous women
series. I did see that. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of a long time coming, don't you think?
It's but, exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know what's becoming mainstream when it gets corporatized.
Yeah, that's true.
Apparently McDonald's flipped the M to a W for one day.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
They got lambasted on social media for it. But I mean, okay.
It's you probably know, those troll
nice
factories.
Nice intention, that, good yeah. idea, badly executed.
Yeah.
But.
Well, it's like that's exactly it. It brought attention to the issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly. You
know, that's how a lot of these things started.
Exactly.
So. Okay, so today's show really is about these random facts, random dates and random progressive movements and things about women.
Yeah, we're sort of celebrating the sisterhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go all over the map. So, here's a couple of interesting pieces of information. So, women were not allowed to compete in the Olympics until 1928 in field events. But as an interesting throwback, at the very first Olympics, women were not only not allowed to compete, but they weren't allowed to watch. So they developed...
No looking!
Yeah. Well, because they were naked, I suppose, right?
Were they?
Yeah.
Really?
Men... Yeah, the events were competed in the nude.
Huh. Yeah. I don't know how these people think people actually had children. Some level of nakedness involved, but okay.
So they started their own games, the Hera Games,
huh.
which were held every 4 years.
Wow.
And they were for foot race events.
Foot race?
Yeah. Because we rock.
Shall we have a foot race?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I'm not having a foot race.
Well, that's not really my thing, but that's okay. I can respect those who do enjoy
the
foot racing.
Racers among us.
Yes.
I was one once upon a time. But
really?
Not anymore. Oh, yeah. I used to run. Run in the woods, cross country.
Oh, wow. Yeah. The freedom.
Freedom. Yeah, it was great.
Do you ever get that sort of desire? Because I hear, because I've never experienced it, I hear that there's a thing that happens when you're a runner, that you reach a certain point of where the whole universe seems to, you know, become one with you, your breathing,
your energy. Yeah, it's a runner
tie. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, and for sure. Especially out in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're breathing all the good tree pheromones and all that.
Yeah. It was good stress relief.
But that's the thing that people become addicted to, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I think you can be as addicted to exercise as anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're creatures of habit.
That's right.
Okay.
Not that that's, I mean, if you're going to be addicted to something,
well, that would be,
choose exercise.
I would instantly choose to be addicted to exercise if I could, but somehow coffee became my thing.
I know.
But whatever. So, it turns out that in 1946, the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women was formed. So in really, it was
46.
Like, yeah, 46. So it actually was quite a chunk of time before there was actually some galvanizing administrative support for the status of women, which I thought was interesting because a lot of stuff happened before that, right? Like lots of countries were already, sort of creating policies and developing, new ways of recognizing women's role. So it's kind of interesting it took us that long into the 40s.
And that reminds me, do you remember the International Year of the Woman?
Mm-hmm.
1975.
Yeah.
No, 1976. I remember thinking that was a big deal.
And then it became the Decade of Women.
And then it was the decade.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I mean, well, we might as well just make it the century.
Yes.
Let's just keep going.
And the one effort was to petition the National Film Board, which led to this creation of Studio D, which is all about women.
Oh.
The work of women. You know you can stream National Film Board online.
I know, everything.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. Like a person could just watch TV such an incredible for 8 hours a day on National Film Board site. I know. Okay, speaking of film.
Yes.
Here's a random fact. The word vagina was first used on film.
Shocking.
I know. I said that word on air. Do you suppose that's like illegal?
No, it's a perfectly legitimate word.
It was first used in film.
First used in public. I mean, someone had actually said the word vagina before.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, but okay. On a film.
It wasn't like invented or anything. Okay.
Nobody ever said the word.
Hey, we wrote it down. Why don't we call it that?
If you wanted to say, like, oh, wait, where's a pen? Yeah. I need to write it. No, it was, the film was called The Story of Menstruation. And it was a Walt Disney film.
Wow.
I know, 1946.
Well, they did a lot of sort of, interesting things.
Yeah.
The Disney studio.
Walt Disney also kind of stole a camera technique from a woman animator.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I can't remember her name offhand, but it was this awesome invention where, because she created shadow animation, right, with just like 2D pieces, and she created the stacking of different backgrounds so that you could get that depth effect.
Huh.
And Disney basically stole it, made his own, except bigger, and then, you know, how things go like that. Anyway, but there were other things that he was very progressive about, so we'll just go with that stuff. Mm. And
I'm just thinking about the 70s all of a sudden. I can see my mom with her big, super cool sunglasses. And everybody wore those lovely scarves you know, around your head. And they would fly in the wind. And
Yeah.
Great. It's a very stylish, freeing time, I can imagine.
Yeah, and the 70s were a great time for a lot of countries that are now under pretty horrible, oppressive rule.
Yes.
Like Iran.
Iran.
Yeah. Man, you look at 1970s pictures from Iran, and it looks like 1970s America.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. No more. Mm-hmm. Or not at the moment. Let's just say that.
Did you know that the two highest IQ scores in recorded history both belong to women?
I did not know that.
Yep.
I know it now, though.
Yep.
Interesting.
However, interesting.
although IQ scores are...
I know.
Increasingly not looked upon favorably.
I know it's a weird measuring tool, isn't it? We're funny about measuring. Mm-hmm. Women earn more than 60% of all college degrees in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. However, 6 to 10% of incarcerated women are pregnant, and there are as many as 1,400 births in prisons happen annually in the States.
That is,
I know,
excessively heartbreaking.
Yep. So that's
And, you know, it comes, it's pay equity, it's reproductive rights, it's, you know, it's all in there.
I know. Mm-hmm. It's all wrapped up. Did you, read?
You're not the boss of me, is what it should be called.
Yeah.
Day.
Did you read Freakonomics?
Yes.
I haven't read Freakonomics, I've seen it referenced many times. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it was referenced in Orange is the New Black, which is a women's prison drama.
Right? Is that right?
Yeah. From
Freakonomics was referenced?
Yeah.
Okay.
They think drug addiction has reduced after the abortion after abortion was permitted. Because women weren't forced to have babies who were addicted to drugs, thereby having lots of children that were growing up in drug-addicted households.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So that's the kind of effect that we have when we allow reproductive rights to be.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, if you can believe it, it's already time to take a break from our random women facts. I know. It went very quickly. I think time is warped in this studio.
It is, because last week when we were off air, it didn't feel like it went as quickly. I mean, we were trying something new, and I think it went well, but it was like, wow.
Yeah.
That was a long 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's true.
It really went on.
Welcome to CKVS, where time moves faster.
I want to start with a couple of inventions that I thought were very interesting, like the game Monopoly. Maybe a lot of people know this already, but I didn't know this.
It sort of seems like a macho game.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
But it was invented by a woman, Elizabeth Maggie. 1902, patented in 1903, she invented the landlord's game. And she was basically a left-wing activist, right?
Because it was a big thing at the time. There's a lot of socialist movements in the early part of the century.
And so she invented this game to basically show people how landlords are, you know, the taxation laws and the land grabs and everything, you know, was a horrible, corrupt system. And so it was kind of a learning game for people to figure out how this works. So she was very, you know, like progressive.
Yeah, what a creative way to illustrate your point.
Yeah, yes. And so she worked on it a lot mm-hmm. and drew the squares and drew all the, and, you know, developed this complex game. And it
became. I wonder if she named Park Place.
Oh, I don't know. But yeah. The interesting thing happened is that as the game became popular, some areas of the United States took it and customized it for their. Like Atlantic City
has
customized theirs for yeah. their
yeah. Yeah, a lot of towns have their own monopoly yeah. boards now. Yeah,
but that started before it was even a Parker wow. Brothers thing. So, interestingly, the game kind of got so popular, and people ended up drawing their own boards because, you know, I guess production and distribution was different back then. And this fellow, you know, was playing it and enjoyed it and asked the guy who taught him, like, where are the rules? Can you write down the rules for me? So the guy wrote down the rules and then he put this whole package together and he sold it to Parker Brothers.
Huh.
So then he got the credit. It was Charles Darrow. He got the credit for inventing the game, which they then called Monopoly. Mm-hmm. But then they tracked the patent back to Elizabeth and said, oh, this is such a great idea. We'd like to buy your patent. And she's like, oh, cool. That's so awesome. And they gave her this big song and dance and this $500. And she was happy, but no royalties.
No, because she sold the patent.
Yeah. So it's interesting that
tricky.
Yeah. So then this guy in the Monopoly rule book and everything was credited for inventing it. And in the 40s. And then Parker Brothers, of course, went on to become... It was their best-selling game for many, many years. And it wasn't until the 70s when another guy invented a game called Anti-Monopoly.
Hmm.
And Parker Brothers sued him because they didn't want him to use the name, of course.
Yes.
And he did the research to find all the original, the storyline and everything. And he's the one that actually brought all of this to light. That and it was this woman who invented the landlord's
wow.
game. Yeah.
Well, maybe Parker Brothers, if you're listening, it would be kind of cool to reissue the game.
Yeah.
An International Women's Day.
That's a great idea. Somebody email those guys. Because they're brothers. Yeah. Parker brothers. Right?
If there was a Parker sister, might happen.
Everything would have been different if it was the Parker sisters.
Sorry, I'm not picking on the fellas. Because, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. It's not about excluding people. I love that thing. Have more people having rights doesn't mean other people have less rights. It's not pie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just more pie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like pie.
We just make more pie.
Exactly.
Yeah. Actually, I remember, who was it that said that? It was like Bill Gates or Steve Jobs or something like that. Said that way back when about distribution, wealthless distribution.
Yes.
About getting pieces of the pie. That's what whoever it was said. We don't do, like, we don't have to do things that way. We can just make a bigger pie.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And in yeah. order to illustrate that point, he said, think of, like, the amount of money that existed here in, say, in North America mm-hmm. 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's that same amount of money that's just been distributed differently? No, there's more actual money.
Yes.
Right? We made a bigger pie.
Yes.
So we have to rethink.
That's right. The pie is getting bigger and yeah. bigger. Yes.
Okay, another yeah. invention. Just random fact.
No, great.
I know. Mary Anderson invented the windshield wiper in 1903. I know, right around the same time. Actually, women have done an awful lot of inventing in necessary problem-fixing, yeah, solutions, yes. like thoughtful and innovative solutions for basic problems.
Yes.
Yeah. They also invented the non-reflective glass. Disposable diapers, of course. Whiteout. Do you remember the whiteout?
Whiteout. Oh my
yeah.
gosh.
Oh, it was a woman.
I'm sorry, but more than once.
Who hated the carbon copy
yes.
disaster that happened every time. If you made one mistake
on
a document.
Can you imagine one mistake? Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
So she went home and she filled her nail polish bottles with white paint and brought it into the office and started using that to erase her mistakes.
Genius.
Mm-hmm. I know. Industrial lathes were invented by women.
Really?
I know. Like, just crazy. We have to, you know, we should do a whole show on just inventions. Except I don't know anything about industry, but whatever. Anyway, Google that someday.
Yes.
For 2 hours of reading material. Yeah. Now, what did you...
Scientists. Yeah. Now I'm totally absorbed here, thinking about all these women who've invented practical things.
Yeah. Well,
I want to invent something now.
Well, okay. Here's an interesting fact. Sorry, this is not about inventions, but in Albania, a group of women are called Berneshes.
Yes.
They live in mountain villages as men in order to avoid the societal restrictions that are, you know, that women face. So they cut their hair, they wear men's clothing, and they practice the male gestures and mannerisms. And they even change their names, and they swear a celibacy.
Really?
Yeah. And that's all just to avoid...
Just to avoid...
what society in Albania has told women they have to be.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. So, Berneshes. I don't know if
Barbara McClintock invented part of the... or discovered the genetic code.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It kind of makes me think about, though, like, when you talk about women inventing things, like, the recognition... the pay, the royalties, like all that kind of stuff. Those are still, like right now in 2018, issues.
Yes.
That are,
Well, yeah, here, I mean, just, you know, Rachel Carson, Silent Spring, she was an amazing advocate and revolutionary, really. She started the modern environmental movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
found all sorts of things.
I know.
That nobody else would have said. And her book did change the world. There's no question about it.
It did. Mm-hmm. I wish it had changed a bit faster. But did you know that women first began to wear high heels in order to imitate men?
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like Louis the 14th and their silly high heel shoes?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because in the 1600s.
Yeah, because high heels are not, I mean, they're great and all, but they're not practical. Come on.
No. They're not healthy for your legs.
No.
In the 1600s, men started wearing high heels as a sign of their masculinity and status.
I see.
So women started wearing high heels in order to imitate men.
Hmm.
What happened?
I wonder what they would think if they came back now. Hey, who said you could wear those shoes?
And then, okay, I just love this random facts business because Mary, Queen of Scots, went into public only a few days after her husband's murder in order to play golf.
Huh.
She was first woman in Scotland to play golf, ever seen to have been playing golf.
Yeah, well, wasn't it golf stands for gentlemen only leisure or something?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that's
that.
That's what people, I mean, that's the rumor, gentlemen only.
Wow.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Go.
I'm just going to play around.
Mary, Queen of Scots. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The earliest known female physician lived in ancient Egypt, about 2700 BC.
Well, I think women have been doctoring for a long time.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of time.
Right. Except for that 100 years or so when they were burned for witchcraft.
Yeah, except for that part.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Did you know that even, like...
It really manifests in strange ways, right?
Oh, I know. Well, it's been kind of a, let's find a reason to oppress women.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a game for, like, several centuries, so... in the 1700s, the British Parliament had a law, or they actually put forward a law. I don't think it became law, but there was a suggestion that women who were seen wearing makeup would be tried for witchcraft.
Hmm.
Yeah. So be careful with that mascara, ladies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid it. I do. I just don't have time. It's pretty sad, but Marie Curie, of course, is the first woman in history to win a Nobel Prize.
Ah, yes.
And the first woman to win two Nobel Prizes in two different categories.
Really?
Chemistry and physics.
Cool.
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
That is pretty amazing. Did you know in 1949, the Peronista Feminist Party was founded in Argentina by, of course, Eva Perón.
Oh, Peronista.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
1949.
Are you part of the pantsuit? Oh, what's it called? It's a group, a huge group on Facebook called Pantsuit Nation.
No,
yeah.
I didn't know about that.
I can
that.
Add you.
Okay.
It's
Are you a Pantsuit Nation
yes,
member?
Yes, I'm in Pantsuit. I'm a member of Pantsuit Nation.
Okay.
And it's kind of an homage to Hillary's pantsuit
and
women empowerment. So
excellent.
There's some pretty cool stuff on there.
I want in on the pantsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
I would personally never wear a pantsuit.
Not for me. I look hideous in pantsuits, but I'm in with the idea.
But it is
of
a symbol
suits.
Of
yes, yeah. The power suit,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny that
much rather wear a cape. I mean, if I'm going to have superpower. Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Well, we something in are our wearing leotard. Our invisible cape every day Perhaps. Anyway.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah. That's what we have to do every yes. time we roll out of bed.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Watch out, world.
Remember 63? Remember in 1963, that was a big year because Betty Friedan publishes The Feminine Mystique.
The Feminine Mystique.
Which basically launched, it galvanized the whole women's rights mm-hmm. movement in the States. So, which became a worldwide movement within such a short time.
Yes.
Like really, yeah. imagine one woman and one book having that kind of effect.
Rachel Carson and yeah. Silence Jean, the same, right?
Yeah. yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
It's possible. In fact, it's always been... Thus, one person, one idea.
Small thing. Yeah. yeah. But it's, I mean, for all of the things that happened prior to 1963, mm-hmm. nothing else, you know, did that. It was just ripe. Right? Mm-hmm. Like we just kind of finally realized, well, oh,
it's like the chemistry, right? The chemistry has to be right.
Yeah.
For the things to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if the soup ain't right,
that's right.
Not ready to eat mm-hmm. it. Yeah. But yeah, there was a whole, I mean, 1952, so like a decade earlier, Israel passes the Women's Equal Rights Act, making gender discrimination illegal. So it was like 10 years earlier than that. And also in Israel, like in 56, Golda Meir is appointed the Minister of Foreign Affairs, the only woman in an Israeli cabinet. Hmm. So, I mean, there's progression happening in other places.
But yes.
for some reason, we just weren't... we just weren't ready
right.
for the worldwide movement.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we're ready now. In fact, I suggest we're taking a leadership role.
Oh yeah. I expect that a lot of the recent activities and movements are causing the intellectual set to reimagine. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm not wording this right, but there's a different kind of movement going on right now.
Yes.
It's about structure,
yes,
policy,
yes,
and yeah,
yes,
and laws,
not good feelings, and
yeah,
yes,
yeah, mm-hmm.
Practical restructuring,
yeah,
is beginning to happen, absolutely,
and it's kind of like what needs to happen with the First Nations and Truth and Reconciliation, right?
For sure,
it's about breaking down those institutions. Mm-hmm. We have to fix the institutions if we expect to be able to move forward.
Yes,
and so it's
and
hard.
You know, an institution is never done.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, okay, well, that's done. You know, it's always changing. Yeah. Always, always, always.
Yeah.
And now, right now, their big push is women and STEM, right? Science, tech, yeah. engineering, and math.
Right.
So I'm very excited to see that focus.
Right. Although
Women scientists, women entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, a budget that deals with gender equality, question mark?
Yeah.
I'm sure this is like a revolutionary concept, but I'm pretty sure in 10 years from now, we'll go, huh, wasn't that clever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I definitely recognize there has to be a push in these kinds of things when women have been traditionally excluded from mm-hmm. certain industries. But I still really believe that you should only do that if that's your passion.
Yes.
Just like men should be able to raise the children if that's
Absolutely.
Their passion.
Absolutely. And
should,
that's happening more.
Exactly.
Which is great.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't think that STEM should be foisted upon all females in high schools.
Yes, but it should, nor should they be excluded. But I think there are structural realities that excludes.
Yeah.
Right.
And I really, it's just kind of like what you said about affirmative action.
I mean, at one point,
you have to make some extreme decisions yes. sometimes in order to open the doors and break down the institutions. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. at one point, a female lawyer was a huge deal. Now, more than half of lawyers are women.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
boy, I just want to say thank you to all the trailblazing women mm-hmm. because those are people who are our age, mm-hmm. right? Some of them are our age and maybe just a little bit older. Breaking serious ground
yes.
in and, some of these
yeah.
sectors.
And again, in 20 years, I think we'll look back and go, you know, it used to be like 1 in 10 scientists were
yeah.
women. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, that's weird. Why was that? Right? Hmm. And that's kind of, I think, what the STEM push is. It's not like
yeah.
forcing people into a profession they don't want. It's just exposing girls to what is traditionally viewed as a boy mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
Right?
The opportunity mm-hmm. and changing the culture
yes.
around that.
Which I hope our makerspace will
yeah.
attract
That's
a
exciting.
Lot of young
Okay, I'm sorry. Students. I have to go back to the high heels.
Okay, you go back.
Because you're not going to like this.
Okay, uh-oh.
So pornography in the 19th century was the reason that high heels were brought back into fashion for women.
Because of pornography?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it was used, like it was one of the only accessories that women would be wearing. And so...
Oh! Mm-hmm. I see. Interesting.
So, you know, just, yeah.
Good shoes are important.
Yep.
And now for something completely different. So, you know, our favorite thing is Expo 67, right?
Yeah.
We've talked about it so much on this show. But did you know a lot of those designers were women?
I did not know that. So, like the pavilions or the
some of the pavilions, some of the other buildings, Place Bonaventure, which is a huge complex in Montreal, kind of an underground thing that's connected to... Like, you can live in Montreal inside for a week. You don't have to go outside.
Yeah.
Because there's this whole network of hotels connected to train stations, connected to subway stations, connected to stores, connected to restaurants. It's very cool. Your coat. Like, you could go from Ottawa, leave your coat in Ottawa, take Via Rail to Montreal, get off at the Via Rail station. You will end up in Place Bonaventure, which was designed by a woman. And... then get back on the train and pick your coat up in Ottawa and not have to go outside.
Well, you know what? After the winter we just had, I'm thinking I'd like to do that. I'd like to have an opportunity to do that. Yeah, sounds cool, hey? Although I do see the need
for sunshine. Telephone Pavilion at Expo 67, which had the 360-degree film screen, was from Moose Jaw architect Doris Brown.
Cool. That's amazing. You know... I just went back to the lawyer thing. Oh, darn. I lost it now. This is the problem with the internet. You say something, and then I saw something, and I lost it because there's too much information out there.
Yes, there is plenty.
Yeah, but it was a lawyer thing. Oh, yes. Between 1970 and 2010, the percentage of female lawyers in the United States went from 4.9% to 33.4%. Yeah. So that is quite a significant jump, yeah. Mm-hmm. And same with veterans, the number of women that make up U.S. veterans. Of course, these are all Americans, random facts. It went up 14%. Mm-hmm. So that's not necessarily, war isn't necessarily a thing we want to be doing, but just in terms of making sure that there's all roads are open to women.
Well, I mean, I think it would change the way conflict is managed.
Yeah. Well, it's just like in the movie...
Right. If you no men think beyond less this point. About war and more about peacemaking.
Yeah.
Right? Because we talk about peacekeeping a lot.
Yeah.
Canadian.
There should be peacemaking. Thing,
but it's the peacemaking is the important part.
Yeah.
And we have to be doing more peacemaking.
Yeah.
And a traditional, you know, it just changes the nature of.
Yeah.
Well, of war.
Just like in No Men Beyond This Point, right? As soon as women were in power, they just ceased military spending and space exploration. They just stopped it. And then they had money for things like, it was in that mockumentary.
The mockumentary.
Yeah. Didn't you see No Men Beyond This Point?
No.
Oh, you have to see that.
I should see that.
You definitely need to see that. It's hilarious.
Well, you know, what if we did that?
I know, exactly. Well, it kind of opens those possibilities. Like, if women were in charge, a lot of those things would just disappear. And therefore, they had all this revenue for, you know, science and medicine and taking care of the people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we need to have those conversations. It's not like watching one mockumentary isn't going to fix, you know, I mean, it's not just entertainment, I'm saying. We actually are exploring ideas that have to do with this incredible problem we have, which is overpopulation on the planet.
For sure.
Too many people, not enough resources.
Yeah, and regimes that are not inclusive or equal or...
Yeah. Right? And so it comes down to what women have been doing for a millennia.
Yes.
And that is caring for the community.
Yes.
And being, you know, like having to think about the wider holistic health of your people. Mm-hmm. We need to do that.
Yes.
Simple as that.
Yeah. And there's lots of, still plenty of work to do, I suggest.
Oh gosh. Yes. Unfortunately.
But I'm proud that Canada has a leading role in that and has had for a number of governments.
Yeah.
We're not just, we're not bashing either any of the three parties. Just so you know, in case you're thinking, now Louise. Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's because of, like we said, trailblazing women, mm-hmm. women who have gone into situations where no woman has gone before, yes. and has said, look, I have something to contribute here. And we have to respect that, you know, that they've built knowledge and experience and you know, want to contribute.
Yes.
We have to make room for that. Mm-hmm. We can't say, wow.
And sometimes we have to more than make room for that. We have to accommodate for it.
Yeah.
Which is affirmative action, mm-hmm. which is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
For some. I mean, there's some, you know, Twitter's can be a very nasty place. My particular irritant is when people call Catherine McKenna, the Minister of Environment, Climate Barbie.
Ugh.
But, you know, that sort of nonsense needs yeah. to stop. But those are, you know.
I was really interested to know about the Russian troll factories being responsible for a lot of that stuff. Like, not just in the States, but in Canada, too. Yeah. Like, that's horrible to mm-hmm. know that there are people being paid to just sit there and write bad things
yeah,
about.
You know what word they put in the dictionary this year?
No, what?
A dumpster fire.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
Yeah. So there are people being paid to start dumpster fires yeah. on social media.
Yeah. It's awful. Mm-hmm. What are we doing to ourselves?
I don't know.
Why is spewing hatred sort of the new trend? It doesn't seem to contribute to anything. It doesn't seem to act like create change except for, you know, violence.
Well, I mean, it was just disruption, right? Disrupting what would otherwise happen.
I know, but there's disruption for the sake of progress, like, you know, progress, making significant change in the way something's been done that you can see it being done better in the future, mm-hmm. right? Like I can see lots of disruption being a benefit, and it hurts in the middle ground, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh God, nothing, now everything's out of control. We're in chaos. But the long run is that you build a new structure.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of the hate spewing, and the trolling, and the whole stuff that happens on the internet, I don't see that disruption being able to be reformed into something better.
No, I definitely don't.
So but I don't understand why we as humans are sucked into that. Like, why? Why are we letting that influence us so much?
I wish I knew. We'd probably have a different president if we knew that.
Yeah, true enough.
Well, he's not our president. He's our president.
There'd be a different president yeah. down there. Yes. And, yeah, we could go into
that. Yes.
Yeah. That could be a whole different thing.
See where this is going already? That's right.
I know. In 1982, Agatha Barbara was elected president of Malta.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. 82. And then the same year, Milka Planic became the first woman to be prime minister of Yugoslavia.
In which year?
1982.
No.
I know. And then in 1985, Eugenia Charles, first woman to become prime minister in the Caribbean.
Hmm.
So.
And Margaret Thatcher, of course.
Yeah.
People aren't terribly fond of, but.
Yeah.
And Kim Campbell.
1986, Maria Liberia Peters, first woman prime minister of the Netherlands. Carazon Aquino, first woman to be elected president of the Philippines. Like, man, we're, you know, in terms of leadership, things were happening in the 80s.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We're moving. Mm-hmm. We're going. But there's still a long ways to go.
Oh, yeah. There's, as I say, we're never going to be finished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then there's always these little pieces of hope. And this is the thing that kills me. Doesn't kill me. This is the thing that confuses me.
Okay.
When things happen that make you think, yay, we've really moved forward, there seems to be a backlash after that that makes it, you know, like, oh God, we went too far
physics,
too fast.
Well, it's just physics, right? Opposite forces.
Yeah.
There's always a reaction to every action.
Mm-hmm. So
it's inevitable.
It must be, well, I would hesitate to say like the power, it's the power people, right? The people who have been holding power traditionally for a long time see things changing as them losing
some of
that power.
Yeah, because they think they're going to get less pie.
Yeah. I suppose pie is power.
Yeah.
But power is the thing that they're pulling back on, and that's why they start these other anti-movements,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I feel like, what is the purpose of that? Like, power, what is power to you? Is power having all the money? Is power having the status? Like, what is the power that makes it worth you know, your community not being taken care of, or mm-hmm. health being not prioritized, or, you know,
and
everybody
it's about
being
permission
equal.
Too. Power and permission.
Yeah.
So some of us waited for permission mm-hmm. to be able to do the things we wanted to do. Others said, well, I'm not even going to wait for permission. I'm just going to do this. Those are the trailblazers.
Yes. But I'm feeling like, mm-hmm. because I think women traditionally don't view power the same way as men.
Absolutely.
That we're never going to see that level of...
What is the outcome that you seek?
Yes.
Well, maybe it's the practical nature of femininity. I don't know.
Well, maybe that's why it's taking so long, mm-hmm. right? Because we just don't seek that level of power, and we're not trying
to power
them.
No.
So we're just doing what we're doing mm-hmm. because we see, you know, we see the need, or we see the solution, we see the possibilities, and we also want to take care of our whole community. And I totally recognize a heck of a lot of men out there want to do the same thing.
Oh, for sure. This, yeah. Again, not bashing.
Yeah.
Huh. So but, interesting. I have to think about that one.
And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Okay, well, there's big drama.
Yeah.
Power drama.
That's right. So so next time I ask you to borrow $10,
oh,
you might give me
a picture of Viola Desmond.
Viola Desmond.
Yay.
Graces the $10 bill. The first non-royal female to ever grace a piece of Canadian currency.
Right.
Which just seems crazy when you think about it.
I know,
it, right?
I know. Right. It's been a long
but
time.
But anyway, wonderful, wonderful story. Activist, trailblazer, did not wait to be given permission.
That's right.
And the sweet, sweet coverage of it on TV yesterday was they gave her sister, who's still alive, a sort of a preview of it.
Yeah.
And put it in a little envelope and videotaped as she opened it. The look on her face, oh my God, it was priceless.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. And it's a vertical bill.
Yeah, which is cool. Again, which seems ridiculous. Why haven't we made... I love it when we do this.
I know. So it's innovative on more than one level. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Yeah, so...
See, so they... Here's a quote. Our banknotes are designed not only to be secure and durable means of payment, but also to be works of art that tell the stories of Canada.
Wow.
Isn't that lovely?
That is.
I'm immensely proud of all the innovation that went into this note, said Stephen Paulos, the governor of the Bank of Canada.
Huh. So if you don't know the story of Viola Desmond, she was, she lived in Nova Scotia, right?
Yes.
And so this is actually before Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on a bus, you know, in Alabama.
Yes, she refused.
10 years before Rosa Parks.
Yes. So
Desmond refused to leave the whites-only section of a Nova Scotia movie theater.
And was arrested.
Yeah.
So it. And she was a beautician. She owned a business.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, the racial segregation that was so common in Nova Scotia at the time, she... was an activist against
that's
such
right
thing. So yeah, and she continued to work in in anti-segregation
yes.
ways, and just did not get the kind of recognition that other people have gotten in the same civil rights era, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just I don't know, kind of got buried in history.
So I mean, I guess I don't know, to me you don't need permission to be a hero, to be a trailblazer. You just need to not wait for permission.
Yeah.
If you see something, do something.
Something that needs to be changed.
Yes.
And you see anybody, like that's the other thing. You don't have to be the thing. You don't have to be the oppressed mm-hmm. to make the change. Mm-hmm. If you see oppression, you can make the change.
And I mean, in the 70s, it was, you know, the women's movement and burning bras and like it got really... political, even nasty, right? And mm-hmm. and I think it sort of set the movement back a little bit.
Yeah.
In fact, we know that it did. So, because people were trying to disassociate themselves from that. So, but we're back on track now. And it really, it's not about superiority. It's about inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
diversity, acceptance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting because opportunity. Speaking of setting, like not wanting the movement to be set back, mm-hmm. Betty Friedan was one of the women who didn't want the lesbian movement to interfere with the women's rights movement. So she called, do you remember what this was? She called all of the, because lesbian groups were forming and trying to, you know, say, look, we want recognition too. We want equal rights. We want mm-hmm. access to, you know, the same thing. Anyway, Betty Friedan said like, no, you guys are, it's too much.
Too fast. Militant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She called them the Lavender Menace.
Aww.
I know. And it's kind of funny because they showed up at one of the big women's conferences that somebody managed to shut the lights down. And then when the lights came back on, there were all these women surrounding the entire audience with these shirts that said Lavender Menace.
Oh, wow.
That were chanting mm-hmm. the, you know, all of the mantras yeah. that they were trying to achieve.
But so, movements change
yep.
too, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you think about, say, remember the Summer of Clackwood Sound? They called it the something in the forest. Oh, come on.
I don't know about it.
And so that was pitting environmentalists against forest companies, against government, against communities, against foresters, you mm-hmm, know. Mm-hmm. But now that way doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Right? So now, or just like... say whale touring, and I know this is going to sound like a random example, but it'll all come back together. So if you go on a whale tour in Victoria, used to be that environmentalists and scientists would push back on that, but now they work together with the touring companies who are providing invaluable research to the scientists. So they come together with a sustainability plan. So they're not fighting anymore. Everybody's on the same
yeah.
page. And I think that is also the case in forestry. There was sort of a meeting of the minds and, okay, wait a minute, there is a better way
yeah.
forward. And to me, I think that's where the movement is right now, mm-hmm. certainly in terms of
well, it's always been about how equality to find balance, and right?
equity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just like your work with the Plan B mm-hmm. Group, that it's about the balance of business,
yeah, and
environment,
together,
and community.
Yes, yeah.
It can happen.
Yeah. I mean, I've yet to see, I just had this conversation with a young fellow yesterday. I have yet to see a fight ever result in anything of value.
Hmm.
Right? So yeah. if you feel really strongly about something, you need to find a different way. Like, I know it's human nature to fight or flight, like, but there's got to be a different way.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes the fight galvanizes a group.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the group has found each other, right, then some innovation and thought mm-hmm. can go into it.
But it's that caveman brain response, like, ah, me no happy, me bonk you overhead with club, right? But that doesn't do anything. Right?
But if the, you know, 20 cavemen came together, we not happy.
We no happy.
Then me becomes we.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then one guy says, you know, when we bonk all those people in the head, it's not actually doing anything.
It's not gonna
do
anything.
So let's think of something else.
Yeah. So how do you shepherd, you know, conversation? And I mean, it comes down to organizational behavior and how we manage teams and how we steer public dialogue. And, mm-hmm. you know, I used to be me no happy, me bonk you over the head kind of person myself, but I've quickly learned that it's not very productive.
That's so funny. I can't see you as a me not happy, bonk you on the head kind of girl. Yeah. Like, I guess because I've always known you to be a very, like, what do you call that when you're a thinker that surrounds a problem? A lateral thinker?
Maybe.
I
don't know.
And so you always approach things from unique perspectives. Mm-hmm. And man, you come up with the angle that I would never have considered before. Mm-hmm. So I...
Well, it's... Yeah, thank you for saying that. But my first reaction is usually me no happy, me bonk you on head. But then I quickly realize, okay, wait a minute. How do you take that energy that is normally expressed in anger and quickly sort of reapply it in another, right?
Yeah. Hey, maybe that comes back to the brain thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know how men have bigger brains
yes.
than women? They're 9% bigger, but we have the same number of brain cells.
That's a lot of stuff stuffed in
so
there.
So our brains are denser.
Okay.
So I'm thinking it's the pathways
are shorter.
Yeah, they're shorter. So we can think faster.
So that's why we can say, okay, I'll drop you at soccer, then I'll go get groceries, then yeah. I'll pay the bills, and I'll pick this up. Meanwhile, everybody's like,
in 12
what,
minutes.
What did we, yeah. What were we doing now? Yeah. That, yes. You know what? That makes a lot of good sense.
Yeah, yeah. That's my scientific
shorter
perspective.
Shorter pathways.
Because I'm so experienced and knowledgeable in science.
Yes. Good yeah. things come in 9% smaller brains.
Well, it's just bigger isn't better necessarily,
no.
right?
Oh, heavens no.
Yeah.
No.
So if your pathways are shorter and you're coming up with a better solution quicker, that's a good thing. That's,
or better.
That's
different.
What we're trying to. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, and also, yeah, things that maybe other people haven't thought of before. Mm-hmm. Because that's the other mm-hmm. thing about breaking down the institutions is that the pathway to doing something is so ingrained in
For
us.
Sure.
It's like, oh, well, okay, if we're going to get to this result, we take these first 9 steps. Well, no, maybe those first 9 steps aren't the right steps. Maybe we need to go all the way back.
All the way
to back. The very beginning and say, huh. How can we do this a different way?
Yeah.
And that's the challenge yes. because that's more work. Lots of people don't want to do more
yes.
work. They want it to be easy.
Right.
And
so
fast.
Don't, you know, be brave, be mighty. Don't take no for an answer.
Yeah.
Don't let, if someone dismisses you or says you're naive or you're oversimplifying, mm-hmm. Those are insults in disguise. So.
Yeah. And my goodness, if you ever hear, no woman has ever done that before, mm-hmm. That's
what you should be doing.
That's exactly what you should
yeah.
be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope that this is inspirational, knowing that we have so many women that have come before us who have been brave mm-hmm. and have taken horrific beatings
yes,
and
literally
terrible ridicule
yes.
and maybe have drifted off into the history books in complete obscurity mm-hmm. Or maybe not even made the history books.
No. Oh, but, no, plenty of mighty women did not make the history books, yeah. but they made great change.
Yeah. yeah. But every single one of them contributed to mm-hmm. where we are now. Mm-hmm. And everything that we do today will contribute to our daughters and granddaughters
That's right.
of the future and making sure that they have a safe and productive and interesting and diverse world to live in.
That's true. Because like my dad says, you come from a long line of mothers.
That is profound.
Isn't it?
Oh, I love it. And I actually really love, I can't remember who said it. Hopefully it wasn't some disgraced comedian now, but somebody said on some talk show during the presidential election was that I'm voting for Hillary Clinton because she's a mother and because mothers just do shit better.
Okay.
And I was really like, I thought, a middle-aged white guy really thought that that's worthwhile. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe that's not profound, but it thought it was worthwhile to vote for a woman in a high management position because mothers have a set of skills.
Hey, we are
so
all
unlike
chief executive officers.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so unlike any level of training or schooling mm-hmm. or anything that you can get mm-hmm. that he'd be willing to put his trust in that. I'm thinking there's a lot, there's millions of people willing to put their trust in
yes.
that. Maybe it's time.
But they were.
Well, yeah. But maybe it's time we recognize
yes,
that as a
more keep recognizing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
sure.
And speaking of recognition, DeMille's, I'm sure they're getting ready for the great annual parking lot flood,
yeah.
right? Because there's so much snow. The snowpack's 50% higher or something this year.
Oh, really?
And anyway, I think it's already started a little bit.
And yeah, and the there's an event happening soon. I'm sorry, I should have grabbed it earlier, but there's something happening out there. And that's
Is
the
there?
Thing. You have to stay on top of things. Like you have to follow them on Facebook or something because they're doing stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So it's kind of an artistic hub, right? A community gathering place.
Also home of the pumpkin launch.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that exactly right. Like that's kind of the community event kind of thing that we love to get behind, and we're certainly appreciative of that kind of, you know, the business environment community connection, right? Like that's what they're doing: agriculture, business,
yeah.
and community gathering.
Yes, and just to go, spring is coming, and you know you can get your seeds there too. So
yes. Oh gosh.
Isn't that exciting? That's the best part. I love buying seeds. I can't grow anything, but
it's hilarious that you buy seeds.
I do every year.
Because you don't have a garden.
No, I try every year. I get a little, but last year I had basil.
Well, that's pretty good. Actually, container gardening is urban gardening solutions, right?
Container gardening.
Yes.
I have a little
So
garden bed next to my house.
Yeah.
It's good sun. And
urban farming is one of those solutions that could potentially combat the food sustainability and food security issues that we're facing now and will be facing even more drastically in the future. So grow your basil.
Grow your basil. Grow your food. Mm-hmm. And that's another empowering, right?
Yeah. An empowering thing, an empowering skill, mm-hmm. The gift of food. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So happy International Women's Day, everyone. And take time to learn a little bit more. Have a great week and happy women.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah.